Hey, everybody, and welcome to Superhero Speak. I'm your host, Dave.
Kitty.
And Don, you're allowed to say that now. You can just jump
in. Yeah,
you're,
I sometimes I forget to jump in there because it's like I'm waiting for you. But yeah, hey, it's Don. We're talking X-Men. I'm here.
Exactly.
Your mic still sounds off a little bit, Don. Doesn't it, Dave? Am I wrong about that?
A little bit. It's so weird. Okay, so before we go any further, a little behind the scenes. Last week, Don sounded loud to me, and John sounded fine, but after the episode was posted, John was extremely low. No one could hear him. We got a few complaints about it, but now it seems like, I don't know. If anything
better?
Yeah, I hear you fine. If anyone watching thinks it sounds off, let us know, and we'll try to fix it. Because this is a live show. This is the crap that happens. So how is everyone doing? How are you, JD?
I'm busy. Like, I'm trying to finish my grad school finals. It didn't go very well, so I had to spend redoing them. It's super stressful. Not having fun at all. Yeah. I did Gandy to C2E2 yesterday. That was fun. He actually had a good soccer game before that. That was awesome to watch him. He's turned into a little monster on defense. And then he had the game-winning goal, so it was pretty fun for that. And then we had C2E2 and Gab Ticket. It was pretty cool. It was all incognito because it was sold out. And then, it was fun. And then today, I went and saw, and for some reason, the local theater was showing Alien. I'm not sure why, but we went and saw Alien, the original 1979 Ridley Scott version, and had like a 20-minute talk with Ridley Scott and the director of the new Alien movie, whose name I forget beforehand. That freaking ruled. And it was a good time. So it was me and my childhood best friend were there. It was good. That was fun. And then today was all about school, which sucked ass.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the pictures from C2E2. So you were Sting.
I was there to sign my mask. I didn't dress up. I was just wearing that same mask that I've worn on the show before. Oh, okay. I didn't dress up. Andy dressed like Darby Allin.
Okay, that's what I'm gonna say. Pro wrestler. Who's his makeup? Yeah,
Darby Allin, the Sting's tag team partner, EW. They're a professional wrestler. But right. We had a good time. Then, we were looking at Star Wars stuff and Pokemon stuff, and he likes superheroes, but he's not into reading comic books yet. He's only 8, but it was fun. It's a good time.
Okay, cool. How about you, Don? Anything exciting since last week?
Oh, yeah, tons of exciting stuff. I know you guys don't watch it or talk about it, but the Bad Batch, you know, its final episode is this week. So had a pretty good build-up going into that. Love that show. Obviously, X-Men 97 ruled. And then I got the email from you that we're going to talk about Pride of the X-Men, which I was like, okay, let's fucking go, to quote Wolverine in the new trailer.
Say there was no place to run. That the mutant age had finally begun.
Yeah, I was always confused. Why are they talking about Magneto's whores? I didn't know he had whores. Emma Frost, I know she's dressed as scantily clad, but she's not a whore.
I would like you not to refer to Rogue that way, sir. It's not appropriate for this show.
Yes, yeah. Actually, I got to give you one of these.
What are you doing?
We don't do that here.
I'm gonna do the worst thing you ever do after you tell a joke, and that's explain it. And that's actually it's Magneto's hordes, but I always saw it as a kid. But yeah,
I find that will not strike the team that strikes like man. I fucking love that theme song.
I always have. It has lived in my head rent free for decades.
Yeah. So I had an interesting week. Oh, Kassan's here.
Hey, Kassan. Thank you, by the way, Kassan. He's reading my book right now. He's reading the non-proofread version of my book, so I seriously appreciate that.
Oh, jeez. Tear him a new one, Kassan. All right, kidding. You weren't here last week, JD, and I didn't actually say anything about this on air, but I had gotten into a really bad fight with the girlfriend to the point where she was kind of saying, like, she might want to break things off.
Really?
Yeah. But we had a really good talk on Thursday. I mean, things were getting better before that, and then we had a good talk on Thursday, and because of that, it was a really good week. And then today I just woke up feeling like crap and just that had happens. Had one of the worst days, not worst days, but I had just a frustrating day because of that. And then like one of the things is we ordered dinner because I didn't feel like cooking, and we just ordered from Taco Bell, and we got a couple of sodas, and I'm like carrying it into the house and I just dropped one of the sodas and all over the floor. And I'm like, oh, I just want to go lay back to bed.
I'm going to derail for a minute. I like that you talked about communication with your girlfriend. My wife and I had date night on Friday night, and it was just the two of us because Andy was with his grandparents. And the last year plus has been super trying in our family. I changed careers, and Michelle had a couple surgeries. And then we think she had a bad bout of long COVID. Because she was just super, super sick for a long time. Yeah. Andy developed some really nasty anxiety of his own. So like for a while, it's not like that we weren't communicating, but we weren't communicating as efficiently as we typically do. Because again, we've been together 26 years. Like we started dating in high school, and now we're in our mid 40s. And there's never been like we've just been together forever. So like things fall, and we had hit a rough spot, and I decided it's just time to put the cards on the table, because getting myself, this is after Pop died, and this is all about, I've been really focusing on getting myself right up here. Right. And a big part of that was talking to my wife and being like, look, this is where I am at with this right now. And she was like, this is where I am at with this, and not being like aggressive toward each other, but like having a real conversation where you're honest with your partner. Cause too often I'm going to say things either because you don't want to hurt them, or you don't listen, one or the other, both are bad. And so what's super important is in a relationship, especially one that's been going on, your guys, you've been together 2 years, probably
2.5,
actually. 2.5. Yes. On my part, you have to, at some point you hit ruts, and you have to figure out where going. And for us, it's been 26. The thought of starting over is terrifying to me. And I think of you when that happened, when like, the thoughts crossed my head of like, God, what would that be like? And you went through some horrendous trauma.
Yeah.
And always in my head when I'm like, okay, like, you overcame so much to stay healthy and to be where you are. And I'm glad that you guys to talk about this too often in these related communication doesn't happen. And then people are left frustrated and upset. And can you tell that I've been spending a lot of time working and reading and trying to get better about mental health, because it's important.
Yes. No, I totally agree. And that was one of those.
And now I farted.
That was part of the conversation too, right? Basically, I did something stupid, but she, and I hate saying it like this because I don't really mean it the way it sounds, but she really overreacted. And that's what she said when we finally talked. And it has to do with trauma from her past. It was a trigger for her, and that's why she reacted the way she did. And that's the thing, like, you do have to communicate stuff like that with your partner, and so you both understand where each other's coming from.
Unfortunately, words like trigger take on like a connotation idea, and they almost get made fun of, but it's things like, there's real things that, like, if you don't want to use that word, it's better to use single syllable words, I think, to just make sure things sound real. But just say, hey man, that's something that upsets you or something that bothers you. It's more syllables, but I think sometimes like you need to use syllables to effectively express something, like, hey, this shit pisses me off. Maybe that's maybe that rings a little bit more true than trigger, right? Because trigger, the liberal with the trigger, that's the connotation with those kind of that's the connotation that those things take on, when in reality, I'm not sure what happened. I don't know what happened. That's your whatever. And you had to work back to figure out, one, how not to do it, two, how to get better. And the only way you get to that spot is by way through it. I got to turn. I'm no longer, I have to fix. I just got a notification. So yeah, I'm glad that you guys were able to do that. Drew says, what are everyone's thoughts on the big question of the day? Who's Blue's baby daddy?
Sadly, I can answer this question.
Thank you, John, because I was lost as fuck.
Yeah.
So, Bluey doesn't have a baby daddy. Bluey's mom or dad is not pregnant. It's their aunt. So, I'm not. There you go, Drew. Bluey's not pregnant, or.
Oh, my God.
I sadly know that. Yeah. Oh.
I got to fix something.
The communication is key. I've been married for over a decade now, and my wife frequently communicates all the things that I do that make her angry. So, yeah, definitely works.
Yeah, they're good at that, aren't they?
The alternative, don't tell you it pisses them off, and they just let it fester. And then one day you walk in the room and you spill some, and they try to murder you with an, or so I've been told. You know,
that was actually weirdly part of the conversation too, because she has the tendency to like not say anything, to like just make sure other people are happy, and then it builds up and builds up.
Yeah, that's no way to be.
And females seems to be a lot of friends that talk their pleasers and trying to fix that about themselves. think it's a societal thing, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think so too. It's the role that women are used to playing, especially from like my generation. So
not my wife.
I have a question about your wife, JD, and yours, Don. This is a curiosity. What would you,
5'4"
what would you do if your wife started smoking?
I'd take her in for psychological evaluations, because clearly she's either possessed by a demon or kidnapped in the replicant. That would be very out of character behavior from my very.
Yeah, my wife used to smoke, but she doesn't anymore. If she started again, I'd be excited, because that means she wouldn't give me shit for smoking.
Different perspectives.
I would slow down and use some lubricant, but that's just me.
My lord.
And there's your inappropriate joke of the week. Yay!
I fell for that. Step right into it.
I did as well. Well, this is a strange question, but let's go with it.
Like a dog turd on the road when I wasn't that smeared it all.
All right.
Boo.
All right. But since Don's here, we can't not talk about it. I'm sure you're completely caught up. And of course, X-Men? That's X-Men 97.
Fuck yeah, I'm caught up. It's the best show on TV. Something good to watch. I'm going to watch fun, not just because of homework.
Well, it's so funny, though, because I told John last week, get caught up. You're only a few episodes behind. Get caught up. Don's going to be on. We're definitely going to talk X-Men 97. And he went, oh, okay, yeah, no problem. And then, of course, he wasn't when we started talking.
He was talking about, like, oh, I want to put it on in the background. I'm like, it's just not a background show, dude.
Well, yeah. I think that John is just old enough where he's not an X-Men guy to begin with. So he didn't grow up in the Claremont era.
Yeah.
Two, he's too old to have won in 92 and had it like matter. Like Don and I are right in that sweet spot. Like we're both 12 when that show. So it was aimed like at us, especially if you had prior X-Men knowledge going into it. And what about the show is that it has grown up with us specifically. Yeah. No, I get why John's not connecting with it.
Yeah. I also don't think, like you said, I don't think he's an X-Men person, but I don't know, because he's also a DC guy, but this show is so good. Even if you're not an X-Men person, I think you can appreciate the show, but I don't know.
I think it's the best.
All right.
Since the last Spider.
John is a mystery to me. So right.
He's an enigma.
I mean, me raging at him got me commenting on your guys' social media.
Oh, God. Now we're into that. No.
All right.
This fucking rules. Don, what was your reaction when you found out Bastion is behind everything?
It made a lot of sense.
Yeah, you know,
particularly when it comes to, because it's like, what are they going to, clearly this isn't Guy Rick and Trask. What the fuck else is going on? And even thought, okay, is Apocalypse going to be mixed in this, which I think he still will be. But yeah, the way things are going down with Bastion, he's doing the Baron Zemo from the Civil War movie kind of type move, which is good stuff. Because we've already dealt with a lot of Master Mold and Nimrod in the previous X-Men series. So Bastion being basically a mixture of the two, it's good progression in my eyes. It certainly is. He's a little creepy. Yeah. He's creeping me the hell out, but that's Bastion. He's supposed to creep you the fuck out.
Drew says, my mother-in-law brought the kids home during the last 5 minutes of this episode, had to rewatch them. Them is in the kids or them is in the episode? You gotta specify.
Go for it.
It's great.
When I first saw, because
they just give the hint of his cufflinks at first, and my first thought was, is that Miracle? Like I'm like, Bastion, that makes way more sense than Miracle Man. I was a little embarrassed and looking away for a second, but yeah, it's cool shit.
I thought, it's funny because I watch like reaction videos after I watch the episode, and a couple channels have pointed out, and the writer, I can't think of the guy's name.
Bo DiMaio
also pointed out on social media, like, Bastion has been in every episode, but like one, he's been in the background. There's been like there was a picture
real quick
of houses. Yeah. So it's like the joke being, you should have saw it coming.
Don says the show is great, but the pacing is off. The show relies on the fan base to fill in all the emotional foundations of each character. I really wish this episode was 45 to 60 minutes. Well, problem is animation is expensive. Disney is a negative. I see as a positive because of people who have that knowledge of the X-Men. And I hate when I personally, pop culture medium needs to be to all people. This, like I said, it's not for John. It's not for, because I get kids in with this show, and that's okay. This show is for middle dudes that grew up with the X-Men. Clearly in the title, mm-hmm. X-Men 1997 is for a specific audience. And that's why I'm running it too for just committing to the concept. Like, we don't have enough niche media. We don't have enough niche media in this type of market. Comics are a very niche media. It targets a specific part of a specific demographic and to the detriment of it. But in this case, like, you're just talking about like accoutrement on a streaming network that you're already paying for. So I love that it's, like I said, this is a show for, I feel like, me and Don and my buddy Jeremy Finestone. Like, that's who it's for, and it's what's great. Drew says Rage Rogue was amazing. Agreed, by the way. Agreed with that.
And that's actually one of the things I wanted to point out. I thought was a great point in the show, and I don't know how you guys felt about it, but Rogue throwing, is it Trask? No.
Trask.
Trask off the building. And it was like, and none of the X-Men say anything. In fact, Wolverine retracts his claws and goes, "We were all thinking it," or "She did what we all wanted to do." And it was like, wow, talk about emotional weight. Like, that told you right then and there, this is a turning point for them, period. And that's going to lead, I think, to some other.
I think this is a huge turning point. I think Bo DiMeo is really setting up the overall conflict, because the episode starts with, they take you there, right? Gambit's funeral. Hey, yeah. I know this was an episode ago, but yeah, remember, we're pissed off about this, right? Okay, cut to Rogue breaking into General Ross's Hulk cage, right? Oh, he can't get in. She can't get in here. It's just a Rogue mutant. Boom, here I am. So the Rage Rogue was great, but unfortunately, the Rage Rogue showed us where Captain America. I'm throwing a lot of shade on you, Captain America, and I've done it on the show already before. I bitch about it in the comics, how the X-Men have something fucking horrific happen to them, and Captain America and the Avengers don't step up, and it's for shit like this. Oh, me in this suit going to Mexico? It's fuck yeah, you go to Mexico in that suit, because the mutants just got fucked, and what are you doing about it? They cut to Genosha, right? What is there, about 18 mutants help clean the fucking thing up? Nothing from the American government, Avengers, S.H.I.E.L.D., nothing of that nature. And then cut to the fucking president, right, talking to Cyclops, talking about optics, which is a funny word to use when you're talking to Cyclops. That's but anyway, true. Talking about, oh, I can't do nothing because my voters won't like it. And let's face it, you want me in the office instead of some anti-mutant guy. So that's just, that's setting up a huger stage, I think, because we're basically seeing, we started X-Men 97 with, oh, the death of the Xavier made us like mutants more. Now we're on the other end of that fucking scale, where humans in general, the American government even, the battle lines have been drawn between mutants and everyone else, and they're on everyone else's side. But here's the thing, though. The X-Men did lie and say Professor X was dead, and that's why they got all that support, and he's not. In fact, he's probably coming back. So that's going to be interesting to see. I don't think they're going to react well, and seeing as how the next episode is a three-parter, like, shit's going down. And I thought this episode was just a great setup of that, showing the fact Rogue going to General Ross, going to Captain America, and these motherfuckers ain't with us. So
going rogue, if you will, episode title. We don't do that anymore. I loved about this episode was how real it is, and this is how Captain America would act. This is States government would act. Like, I liked how Beast reacted when the reporter, whose name I always forget, is like, they're just not going to support it because you scare them. And Beast is like, oh, fuck you. We did nothing. We did nothing wrong. We are the victor. And like, you see this in tragedy all the time, where people are like, man, this is terrible. Are we going to do anything about it? No, we don't. Get ready to hit the button, Dave. Piss off our votes, right? That's reality, where we don't step up in the face of, because stepping up in the face of tragedy might offend people, right? We sacrifice people all the time. We allow people to die all the time because we don't want to upset people. Pick your favorite. Like, for me, it's always going to be like school shootings and stuff like that. We don't actually do anything about it. We batter, and then we say we should do something. And then so that one side goes, nah, man, dude, it's too political right now. And then we just forget about it until the next group of kids dies. And then we put on another show about it. Like, how is this not so based in reality? And with Bo DiMeo talking about big influences being the Pulse nightclub shooting, like, he talked about that in 9/11 being like his influences. Like, it just reeks of it. It just reeks of it. It's right. The president was right. You'd rather have me on your side than someone who hates you. And Scott's like, this is bullshit. But at the same time, he knows he's right. It's fucked up.
And here's the thing, Don. To defend Captain America just a little bit, I feel that I don't think his dialogue was written really well, but I think the perspective is he doesn't want to make the conflict worse. He doesn't want to drag the United States into a war at this point.
Pretend that you're a mutant and pretend that 50,000 of you just got fucked dead for doing nothing. And then you go to Captain America and say, will you help me? And he gives you that speech. I'm sorry. And don't get me wrong. He's done this in the comics. That's why the Uncanny Avengers exist. And the Uncanny Avengers is Captain America saying, you know what? I didn't do the fucking right thing in the past. So now, and still, even with this latest Orcus attack, they came through it a little bit. They waited for things to set up in a certain way. But Captain America in the comics has admitted, you know what? I have not had the right attitude about this shit, and I'm going to try and do better.
Now, let me put it to you this way. 9/11. And what did we do? We went right over and started a war that lasted like 2 decades.
Wrong people. Giggity, well, giggity.
Wrecked it.
Everything to do with 9/11. That's who we went and invaded.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
But
here's the thing. At that point, America felt like the mutants, and like all it did was fuel a war. Because I've said this many times. Like, I didn't want us to go over there and do anything against another country. And I remember being in a bar, and the news came on, and it was Bush talking about, okay, now we're going to go over to Iraq, and everyone in the bar started cheering.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why are you cheering? Iraq had nothing to do with what happened in New York, and they didn't care. They just wanted blood. They just wanted revenge. So,
Coliseum.
Right. So it's just, like, I feel like that's why, from my perspective, that's what he's trying to avoid. I didn't say it was the right thing. I said that's what his...
Oh, I think you're right. And this is why it makes for good character. I'll read you his comment in a second. And that's why it makes for good characterization, especially from Captain America, because Captain America is trying to prevent an all-out. By doing that, he's turning his back on people he considers allies. And mistake. It's one that he's going to realize is a mistake, because he's trying to keep things calm. But in doing that, he's creating inaction. And that these are very human emotions. These are very human actions. And Captain America is not a perfect person. He'll tell you that himself, and has multiple times. There's been times he's been up in arms about shit, and there's been times he's tried to walk a line, like most people. There was a lot that were really excited to go to war in Iraq because they just happened to be brown people, and we just blamed all brown people for that kind of thing. That's what happened. I was of age. I was in college when 9/11 happened, and a bunch of people my age were signing up for the military because they wanted that conflict. They wanted revenge. And like when we got a little bit older, we found out it was all a bunch of crock of shit. This is reality, and this is what I love about this so much, is we're not steering away from reality. Like, the best fiction provides a twisted mirror on society. We're not getting those type of geopolitics. We're getting it through the lens of the mutants. And the beauty of the mutants is they could be anything. They could stand in for any group of people that feels ostracized.
Right. A fat kid in the 90s.
Could be a fat kid in the 90s. It could be a homosexual. It could be foreigners. Ever. And that was the beauty of what Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created. They created a metaphor that can adapt to anything and any time. And it always works. Right. And Bo DiMaio gets that. And he's showcasing one of the most realistic outlooks on that. Like, it's so real and it's so infuriating. Because real life geopolitics is absurdly infuriating. And there's nothing you can do about it. This is a good question. Help us derail this. I like this, actually. Drew says, was Madeline switched out during the wedding? In 92, Jean mentioned Cable was important to them. Madeline knew Cable. Jean had to prove to them he's Nathan. Jean had to probe to learn he's Nathan. Excuse me. Maybe. I'd assume they switched out beforehand. Here's the thing. They don't know. Neither Jean nor Maddie knew when the switch out happened because they share memories. We don't know. Scott doesn't know. I'm disappointed that Scott didn't see the fact that he has two hot redheads that were super into him. Most guys would be all about that, but not Scott. Sorry. No, I like that. What I loved about that moment in particular, when Cable goes, yeah, Dad, I'm here. Like, nothing but spite toward his father, but love of his mother, like the people who had to give him up. And it's the plight of Scott that he can do nothing right, and yet does everything constantly while trying to do the right thing. Again, very human character. Love Scott Summers.
All right, and one last point about Captain America. I think the reason they did it, I think they are setting up Avengers versus X-Men in the show.
I could see that. Drew says they aren't willing to share. Did he ask them, sir? Did he propose this to them? Because I know Jean Grey. I know Jean Grey. Is that more than willing to share?
That in the comics. Hold on. We haven't gotten to that point in the
show. Am I wrong, Don?
He's right. Yeah. It's well documented.
You got a problem. And I said wealth, God damn it. Don't take that out of context.
I don't think this Jean was willing to share. She got really ticked off when
the creation of is a bit insulting to what Jean is. She doesn't know, like, syndrome. Am I the clone? Real one? What? Like you start seeing a lot of things into that. Experience a lot more stuff, whole thing, which is good. That's how she should think, actually. But again, Scott should have said, what if I quick have you both? Which would have been a very, very male thing to say, and he would have gotten shot down. Great television. What do we want?
Hey,
great,
and you know what? It was the 90s. You could get away with more back then. So
Suzanne says, my acting up bad. Sorry, am I breaking up bad tonight, guys?
A little bit here and there.
Fucking.
I thought maybe it was my connection. So
I'll just stop. Sure. I'll just stop talking.
Rural internet. No, unacceptable.
Just stop downloading porn in the background, and then
I'm not downloading. I do have a lot of. I do have a lot of things open. Maybe close things off. Continue.
And I think the other thing we need to point out is they said that episode 5 was bad and devastating, and they said episode 8's going to be worse. So I am curious. I don't know.
Listen, one thing that we learned from House of X and Powers of 10 is that Moira, no matter how many lives she had, it always came down to the humans and the machines merging and fucking over the mutants. So yeah. I don't think Bo DeMeo's steering too far away from that.
Yeah,
he seems to have steered a lot into the modern X-Men stuff in his
mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. Absolutely.
And then, shoot, what was the last point I was going to make? I don't remember now.
Why did Bastion play Purple People Eaters while shaving Magneto?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the answer to this question.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that shit out, too.
Oh, okay.
Weird. I was going to say that was an interesting, I don't know, twist. I think I had a feeling Magneto didn't die, but like to show him as a prisoner of Bastion at the end, that was like, uh-oh, what are they going to do here?
Yeah, no, that actually took me by surprise because I didn't think he was dead. I thought the reason the Sentinel said Omega level threat eliminated or whatever was because Leech was right there. So I thought at some point Magneto would have like Leech take his powers away so he wasn't detected. But yeah, no, Bastion's got him in a collar and everything.
Just as modern X-Men, but perfectly adapted, just like the original show. I don't know if I call the original show perfectly adapted. I think it was right for the time in the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I'm going to get into that a little bit when we get to the main topic, too, because I think the history of
and then
the animated series interested. What was that?
And then there's that. Then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The history of the animated series is interesting. All right. I think that's enough X-Men 97 talk for the week.
Talk about this show for hours.
Yeah, we're all loving it. We can't disagree. It's so well written. But
Bo DeMeo's fantastic, and I'm dead serious when I say this.
Yeah, they got to work that shit out, man. I guess I understand Disney has some sort of clause where you can't have an OnlyFans or whatever, but like you said, let dude fucking, who cares?
That's the thing, too. Like, neither side has come out and officially said what the reasoning was. It's just...
Yeah.
He was let go. All right, this is going to disappoint some people, but there's no social media madness this week.
Who's disappointed in that, buttheads?
I was busy this week with a lot of different stuff, and especially with the girlfriend. Yeah, no social
media. You made the wise decision of making social media down priority-wise.
But if you would like to be part of social media madness next week, here's a good friend Don to tell you some more.
Enjoying the show? Do you want to be part of social media madness? Head on over to superheroespeak.com, where you'll find links to all of our social media. You'll also find comic reviews by Chris, some old comic reviews by yours truly, the show itself, lots of good stuff that we're posting on there all the time. So make sure and check that out. And speaking of checking things out, of course, Superhero Speak is part of the Geek World All-Stars podcast network. Great shows like the Pop Prison Power podcast, Colt 45, Fans on Patrol, That's So Wizard, the Gorilla Brain Podcast, and of course, Super Hero Speak. Hashtag GW All Stars, and you will not be disappointed. So make sure that you're going on the X app or whatever social media that you are enjoying. Watch for our post and make sure and interact with it. Have lots and lots of fun. All right. I think I've wasted enough time. I think John has cleaned the whiskey off of his My Little Pony mouse pad. So let's head back to the show.
Is that a, is that a euphemism for masturbation?
Oh!
See, he's here. And he won't hear that joke because he never listens back. I wasted that material. Damn it. Damn it. That was a good
actually, one. You know what? I notice it more when we're playing the clip because it's a close-up of your face, Don. But I have a question in all seriousness about your beard.
Okay.
It's a perfectly gray stripe going down, and then the sides are dark. Do you dye it like that on purpose, or does it just happen to grow that way?
I dye it like that on purpose. Absolutely. No, no, I don't.
I was going to say, do you really? You got me.
Nope. The whole reason it's there is because the wife digs the gray and she plucks her own head from gray. She can't stand it. Oh my God. But she, okay.
Society digs dudes with some gray, right? Like I got it too here.
We
I got
do have it easy. Yeah. As white males, we have it so easy.
That was actually, we talked about that last night. Karen and I went out to dinner and she was just talking about how she dyed her hair right before we went out.
I could do that. Drew says use it again next week. I can't reuse my.
It'll be new to John.
That's true.
And she was talking about like she was rushing around, but at least she got her hair dyed before we went out. And I was like, yeah, I haven't dyed my goatee yet, my mustache. And she's like, don't do it. I'm like, but you just dyed. You just talked about dyeing your hair. Yeah, but it's different for me.
It's true. Like I've gone to work like with this look essentially for 2 weeks, just about every day, like the headband, the freaking gray goat, the gray beard, and people are like, that works for you. And I'm like about low effort like and execution, and like that works. No woman could ever get away with just half-assing a look like I'm pulling off here, but quite frankly I am pulling off the look how my curls are just like banging out over these this bandana rock. Yeah, it's easy. My wife can't get away with that.
If you're enjoying this content from these old men,
are you?
Please
see a therapist.
Click the subscribe button. Click the bell for notifications so you don't miss when we go live. And please smash that like button because it definitely helps with the algorithm. Yeah, now Don has a headache.
Right.
Jerk off the like button so that we can all.
How many shades of red would John be right now? All right.
50? Like the book?
Oh, my God. Ooh, all right. On that note, let's take
blew the dust off that one.
Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with some news.
Some podcasts are like this.
Do you like dry burgers or wet burgers? The question's that. I want this thing to come in my mouth. What a wild thing to say. What an insane
No, but I understand what an insane thing to
but
say.
But I know what you mean because I want a burger that's like the cheese is so melted and I want to squeeze it. It's like disgusting. It's like a swamp of like cheese and like wet. What is that?
You ever immediately grease? You ever do something and immediately regret it?
Yeah. That's fine. That's obviously that's going to be a clip.
And some podcasts are like this.
And you use it to pry out this lid and the inside is just like a little tiny ball.
Plutonium.
And it looks so freaking cool. It'd be a really good piece to put on my desk or something.
There's no way that's real.
It's real. He destabilized the core when it dropped. It broke. And literally, he just got fried with radiation.
And he died?
No.
Yeah.
I was about to make fun of his the way he talked.
I would, but then I found out he died.
And we would never.
We would. What do we never talk about?
Josh!
What?
You can't do that.
Tough week, Josh.
Plutonium.
Stop.
Dude. Joshua.
Tough week in radiation.
I think I'm in a bit of a pickle right now.
Is this freaking Chernobyl right now?
Oh, no.
But only one podcast is where you can get in-depth analysis like this.
And they test it out and realize that it does bubble when people get pissed off.
Mood slime.
Mood slime. Saying that out loud sounds different. We all have it. We all seen it.
Really? The slime that comes out when you get angry or upset.
Speaking of which, did Egon fuck the slime? Why did they get accusatory? And why did he get super defensive all of a sudden? It's like,
He's like, you didn't sleep with, you're not sleeping with it, are you, Ray? And they're like, I got blown by a ghost. I think I would. Fuck it.
He was trying to conjure the ghost back. He just dips his dick in it. Come on, come back.
Oh my goodness.
You are now listening to Cult 45.
This is Beat 'em Down.
And I'm Random Randy Savage.
Find us on all your podcatching apps like Podbean or Spotify. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Or just go to www.cult45podcast.com.
Also, check out our YouTube for that sweet video content.
Cult 45, the only podcast that puts hair on your chest.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Randy, we need a new commercial.
What? I have a question about that one, though. Okay, so the Duck Dynasty guys with the nose rings, the guy wearing a shirt says, "Stop taxing Kirk Cameron." Does anyone get that joke? Because I've been trying to figure out for weeks now. Okay.
Stop doing what to Kirk Cameron? I don't look at the shirts.
Taxing. Stop taxing Kirk Cameron.
I would assume the joke has to do with him being Christian, him going full-blown Christian.
And he's not even Christian. He's a freaking wacko.
But, and like, he does all these Christian movies now. Like, that's all he does. The joke of you don't tax churches. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Drew.
Drew says, I'm enjoying this old man content. Thanks, my man. So I've determined that if Randy has a scene, especially that one is gross, the burger spooge one, I'm out. When I see that, I'm like, I can't do this. So I went downstairs. I peed. My wife made banana bread muffins this morning. So I got one of those. It's like a 4.5 minute long commercial. So you got some time to ease in. It's like a mid set rake.
I saw you take your headphones off and walk away. Hopefully they're gluten free.
Yeah, of course they're gluten free. Okay.
Good, because we can't have you getting sick on air. All right.
Oh, Kassan posted something. Hold that up. Kassan says, Don, here you go. An article. Quote, growing pain star Kirk Cameron moving out of California, high taxes, patriotism, and biblical values.
Okay, I get it.
Okay.
The amazing part is Kirk Cameron was living in California still.
Yeah, I was going to say that is weird. And two, I don't get the patriotism part in there. Like, I understand moving out because of taxes and biblical values, but
California is a pretty blue state. So I guess that's I don't know. It's crazy. Like, he gives Christians a bad name because he is wacky. Like, that dude is on another level. He is insane.
All right.
Growing Pains sucked. Let's be honest. That was not a great film of the 1980s. Like, you go back and look at that show is not good. It's not like Who's the Boss? Far better show, right?
Yeah.
Family Ties, similar show, way shitty.
Yeah. But here's the thing, right? Back in the 80s, we didn't have a lot of choices. So
it really wasn't. I used to fucking watch Mama's Family. Come on now.
Okay, Mama's Family was way better than Growing Pains. Vicki Lawrence is a treasure.
Did Growing Pains have Alan Thicke?
Was the Growing Pains?
Hey, now, I'm Alan Thicke. Look at the catwalk.
Joanna Kearns, a bit of a MILF. But other than that, unimpressive.
Oh, and they had the anorexic lady, too. I can't remember her name, but she was a sister. I'm remembering the whole Oprah special about it now. Yeah, old man TV, continuing on.
All right. So we got a
solo again.
We got a second trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine. This one concentrating more on Wolverine than Deadpool, and showed a lot of new footage. And just curious if you guys watched it, what you thought.
Of course.
Watched it about 5 times.
Yeah. I was watching it in class. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I turned it off before the post credit, I guess you call it, the little stinger at the end. No stinger yet. Can't play cocaine joke.
Yes.
Excuse me. Yeah, it was great. I like that we learned this is a variant Wolverine. That's not necessarily the Wolverine of Logan, not necessarily the Wolverine of the movies that we've seen, but just a variant Wolverine, which I'm cool with. So it doesn't invalidate anything that came before it.
Do you think it's the Wolverine from the comic book that was featured in Logan?
Possible. That would be an interesting twist, actually. That's possible.
And that's one of the theories right now.
Drew says, I'm going to see the movie. No need to see the trailer. Hollywood would disagree. I'm going to see it, but trailers are important.
And also, it gives us new footage that we can speculate about.
What else? We got to talk about
something. Because you have a giant dead Ant-Man, which was in Old Man Logan. And they make the line about he lit down his entire world, which is it? Who's the one that's Mysterio in the comic?
That tricks him into killing the
X-Men. But forgot about that. You could easily switch that with what's her face? The Xavier's clone. No, Xavier's clone.
Oh, Cassandra Nova.
Cassandra Nova,
yeah.
Like, you could easily make her the one that tricks him.
I am super curious all this Graham X-Men stuff has been movies and stuff. I'm super curious to see how the Cassandra Nova character in this movie.
Yeah. And then the other,
I'm really interested too, because obviously she's like really bad in the comics and they are billing her as the villain, but she's way too young and cute, at least compared to the Cassandra Nova in the comics. I feel they're doing a Loki here where like the female Loki is like, oh, evil. Oh no, she's not so evil. She has a good point. Like, I feel that's what's going on here.
Elizabeth Olsen's pretty hot, and Doctor Strange, she was fucking evil.
I do like my wife when she's angry, so yeah.
But I think Don's got a point. Like, they make her ugly in the comics so that you accept her as a villain more. And the fact that they didn't do any of that makeup on her at all in this.
The fact that you forget that Charles Xavier killed her in the womb.
So I guess here's the question. Is she Patrick Stewart's twin sister, or is she James McAvoy's twin sister?
Ooh, and that's a great point, because in this trailer by the Ant-Man, you see all these fucking Fox X-Men characters, fucking mm-hmm. Sabretooth, Callisto, like,
and the logo.
But we don't see anything from like the McAvoy Fassbender X-Men. So I wonder if that's going to be the surprise, if we actually get to see some of those characters, maybe Fassbender and McAvoy himself.
Right. I would love that. So my only thought is, yeah, she is younger, and I hadn't considered that till you brought that up. I just assumed that Hollywood was going to cast a younger, prettier actress, because that's just what they do. Except for men. I mean, those dudes are both in their 50s. So my only thought is that she has to be related to a version that's closer to the McAvoy version of Charles Xavier than the Patrick Stewart. Yeah. Perhaps I'm wrong. But that's all I can come up with.
And the other interesting thing is, right, it's they also brought villains back that they killed off in the movies or changed, like the original Sabretooth and Toad are both in that scene. So it's like
variants.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the part that interests me most in the trailer, and it's the one that's got the most speculative talk online, is them at the end of the trailer jumping through a sling portal. And it's okay. And of course, they white out wherever they're going, so you don't know what they're jumping into. One of the prevailing theories that I hate, because I don't think they're going to do this, is it's the end game final battle.
That are just off in the distance somewhere.
Because they just happen to... I hate fan theories, because I hate them, because everyone that comes up with them are fucking dorks, myself included. I hate discussing fan theories, because they're never ever... We have spent so many hours over the last 5 years discussing what nerds with YouTube channels like us speculate something to be. How many hours did we dedicate to Mephisto in going into WandaVision? And it never happened. So my honest opinion is, if you are still doing fan theories at this point and like making videos about them and trying to break these things down, you need a better hobby, or I hope to God you've got super monetization on your YouTube channel, because it's a waste of time. Shit in one hand and piss in another, and you're just going to smell.
Yeah, I have a theory. I actually put a video up on Friday talking about that, and I think here's my theory, and take it or leave it. This could be a major spoiler if I'm right, and it can be complete garbage, which it probably is.
If you're guessing, that's right. I guess we're gonna have pizza tonight. End up having pizza. That's not a spoiler. It's an educated guess.
Right. My guess is the actual villain of the movie is Paradox, and that he got Deadpool and made Deadpool recruit that Wolverine, because that Wolverine has some kind of gripe against, Xavier's twin. My God, why can't I think of
Cassandra Nova?
Cassandra. Oh my God. I have a mental block with Cassandra. And that basically you find out that what that Wolverine believes is wrong. She's not the cause of his problems. And they're actually jumping back into TVA to confront Paradox at that scene.
So I would hate that if the villain they promised us wasn't the villain they delivered, because that would be some Shane Black Iron Man 3 bullshit, and I don't want to go through that again. Drew says, can't fan theory if you don't watch the trailer. That's actually a really good point. Checkmate, sir.
Yes.
Kassan Warren says Cassandra. Cassandromeda. Cassandromeda Mia. Oh, I'm speaking of
the Yeah, and I don't disagree, but I mean that it would be an annoying twist, but I feel like that's fitting for the multiverse saga that we're currently in, and that, because again, there's something weird about this. It feels like the TVA from the first season of Loki, not what he changed it to at the end of the season. So it's just at the end of season 2. So I'm like, I don't know. There's something weird going on with Paradox in this movie. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It's an interesting. You should, people, after you watch this, you should go and watch that episode or that video I posted on Friday.
Oh yeah,
it's brilliant. Brilliant, I tell you, brilliant. All right. Was it last week we talked about Robert Downey Jr. had said that he'd be willing to come back to the MCU? I don't know if that was last week or 2 weeks ago. But since then, the Russo brothers, who obviously directed Infinity War and Endgame, have come out and said they don't believe that Robert Downey Jr. is serious and that he would come back to the MCU. But what I find interesting is when you read the article, the one of the first things they say is, because we took so much time to set up his death in Endgame. So it really comes off like, we killed him off. We want him to stay dead.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Joss Whedon said that divorced himself from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he said Coulson is dead. And yeah. I think that's a great move because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sucked ass. So you should. So they want him to be real. Like, who wants to have their shit retconned?
Yeah.
Sometimes John Byrne writes Spider-Man Chapter 1 and it's got to be retconned because it was bad.
There you go.
Kassan says, what I like is the obvious presence of a great character arc, Wolverine's redemption. This is without death. Could be. Looking like that Deadpool movie. So the stakes are going to be more, it's going to be more of Deadpool's arc than Logan's arc. So I don't know. We'll see. We've had two very different trailers. So we'll see. We don't really know what's going on. There's a lot of places it can go.
And then
I think, however, this is going to be like putting Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds' characters to bed. That's just my feeling.
Too. Oh, and okay. Tying this back into the other article, Logan died, right? They killed him off in Logan. So, but now
okay. It's Wolverine. It's a variant. Exactly.
And I think that's the only way you bring back Robert Downey Jr. is either a variant or he's some kind of AI to help out the Avengers or something.
But, okay, but is he going to work for a discount? Because if he did, they would do it tomorrow.
Here's the answer to the question. When Robert Downey Jr. really wants to come back, they're going to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think if he walked into the Marvel offices and said, hey, you know what? I'd want to do one more go around. They'd be like, okay.
Then they figure
out. Yeah. I don't know. It's a difficult question. I think he was on Joe Rogan and they were talking about it. And Joe Rogan was like, oh, you should come back. And he said, don't you think it would cheapen it if I came back? And he was like, no, it's a comic book movie. So
he ain't wrong. That's good. The protocols, X-Men, like they wrote this in that this can happen. They made that a part of their universe. So I don't know, man. I think most people would be like, oh my God, Robert Downey Jr. is back. Yay. And whatever. I don't know.
I think it would give the MCU a spark. I do.
Yeah, I don't argue because it's sucked lately.
Famke Janssen, who played
Jensen.
Yeah. Who played, of course, Jean Grey in the original X-Men trilogy, was asked about the rumors that she has a cameo in Wolverine Deadpool. And basically she didn't confirm them or deny them. She just said that it was like, it would be, she thought she was done when they killed her off in X2. When then they brought her back for the Phoenix story in X-Men 3. And then she thought she was done, and then you brought her back for flashbacks in like the solo Wolverine movies. So which, she's like,
that just tells me Famke Janssen did not do her research before playing Jean Grey.
Yes. But and then she basically goes on to say, so you never know. Obviously, she would know because the movie's filmed at this point.
she's probably gonna have a cameo. I was thinking the same thing, Drew. Xena on the top of GoldenEye. Yeah. She was the villain who their backs put by encircling them in her legs
on the top. Yeah, all those Bond, great, you know? All those great Bond female names. Yeah, so I don't know. I think the thing is if they brought her back, it'd be again another one of these super quick cameos in the void. But
fine.
I think it's happening. I think we're gonna see most everybody from the old Fox stuff. I really do. I think the real cool stuff is if we're gonna get a Sophie Turner Jean Grey. Like, I think I don't know. I'm ready to see like all this wacky shit. And believe me, I wish this was like bringing Deadpool and Hugh Jackman Wolverine into MCU proper, but it's going to be a tour de force of the Fox X-Men property. Yeah. And
I keep feeling like this is the first touch of these people in the MCU, but it's also a goodbye to a lot of these characters, especially like Hugh Jackman's done. He's not coming back ever.
Which it's really remarkable that they even get to do this, though. Like, for Disney to be in the position where they purchased a whole universe and now they get to, and by the way, this is Deadpool's fault, but yeah, they get to bookend it now with Deadpool 3. It's just, I don't think we'll ever see anything like this ever again, to be honest with you.
Which is unique. They're in a unique circumstance. They're finally taking advantage of it. It's going to be a lot of fun. The X-Men movies twice started out with a lot of potential, picked it up a little bit, and then dropped the ball. They did that twice. Sophie Turner as Jean Grey was another case of, boy, that's really good casting, that wound up making a shitty movie.
Come on. I think when you try to do this Phoenix Saga twice and you mess it up both times. Yeah. They didn't know what they were doing.
I'll be honest with you. I've always thought this, and I'm staying by this now. I don't think X-Men as a movie would work nearly as well as X-Men as a television series.
Yeah, I agree with you. You said that before, and I agree.
So it's a soap opera. It needs to be treated as such. Because it's all about character dynamics and character relationship. Hey, 8-Bit Ray! 8-Bit Ray says, someone noticed the fight scene in Deadpool trailer is shot for shot the Peter versus Flash Thompson fight. Now, that's what these stupid-ass YouTube channels should be doing, figuring that out.
It is. So it's funny because there are a lot of videos I've seen on social media of them. It's a side-by-side comparison. It's the same dodges that Peter does against Flash.
I'm sure that's on purpose, 100%. That's good filmmaking.
See, now that makes me think that we're going to see the Spider-Man from the original outtakes from the original X-Men. You guys remember that? In the original X-Men movie, but when the DVD came out, we got to see the Spider-Man where Spider-Man like walks into a scene. Obviously, it's not a scene.
Well, that's
like,
just a gag, right? Yeah, that's
right. Because the X-Men actors weren't aware. There was like, oh, it's Spider-Man. So it was a whole gag, but we could see him.
Could happen.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Speaking of Spider-Man, and I just realized I forgot to include the link. This was an article on Deadline that they are definitely moving ahead with Spider-Man 4, that it is in pre-production, and this is the first time they've asked Tom Holland to give creative input into the movie, like where he wants to see the character go and all that stuff.
That happens a lot when you get power.
Yeah, let's put it this way.
Why does he have that power, though?
Spider-Man 3. They weren't going to make it.
Yeah, he did. He's got, because he's Spider-Man, he's the best Peter Parker, and he's got a lot of accrued interests. This just happens. Like, he hasn't had much of a career outside of being Spider-Man, but as Spider-Man, he works. Robert Downey Jr. had that same kind of pull with Iron Man, right?
I'm just, he started dating Zendaya, and now look.
He's been dating Zendaya since the first Spider-Man movie. And don't be a hater, because she's something special.
You want some haterade? No, I also think like Sony at this point realizes they're not making money off of these Spider-Man adjacent movies at all. Like,
why are they still coming out with Kraven? Although it did get delayed, and I hope it gets delayed into oblivion. But
because you have to keep making them, they have to keep the license. They have to keep making these movies.
But what is making movies is Tom Holland and Spider-Man. So they want to keep that gravy train going. What?
And the Miles cartoons. Those are great. We haven't heard anything about that. They gave us this giant cliffhanger and we're like, oh yeah, we haven't made another movie yet. And we're all like, what the fuck, man?
They lied because they said they sure did lie. They said they made them both back to back. And then all of a sudden I was like, nah, we got to work on that.
They worked us like a pro wrestling fan. 8-Bit Race Raven will save cinema from what? Possibly herpes.
But this one is for you, Ray.
What are you doing?
We don't do that here.
No, Craven. No.
Did you hear they casted him as James Bond? Is that an official casting or is that just like rumor casting?
That's rumor casting. I haven't seen any. I do look at Deadline and those things. I haven't seen anything about him being James Bond. That's weird.
Aaron Taylor Johnson is James Bond. I agree. I hope that doesn't happen. Kassan says Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and Venom IPs make money. That's true. The Venom movies do make money. They're not good. They make money.
No, but that whole plethora, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, like I'm around a lot of kids. I have my own kids. I have cousins, neighborhood.
Same.
And the whole Into the Spider-Verse thing is huge with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I even saw the Venom movie was because my 10-year-old daughter was like, hey, grandma was watching it and I want to watch it again. And then, over the weekend, she was watching the Tom Holland Spider-Man. So Spider-Man, the franchise, as long as it's dealing with Spider-Man, Miles Morales Spider-Man, or Venom,
Works.
Yeah, absolutely pops with the kids.
I was saying, my kid loves Miles Morales, loves Peter Parker, thinks of him as one and 1A. There's not a hierarchy. Right. They're both Spider-Man, which is cool because it's a generational thing. For us, Miles is like the other Spider-Man. But for the Brian Bendis created something that transcends Morales is going to be part of the pop culture lexicon for the next 100 years.
Drew says, does regular Spider-Man not keep the license for Sony? Yes, so, but they have to make them so often. And there's because of now he's tied into the MCU and the movies have to fit in with what's going on. There's a longer gap between them as well.
So here's the thing, too, to keep a license, right? Because Sony doesn't own the property outright. Keep a license that a movie in every X number of years. If there isn't a film in development or that's produced, then the rights revert back to Marvel, which Sony doesn't want because that's like the most valuable thing the Sony has right now. Ghostbusters has been good for them. Spider-Man is valuable for a while. Spider-Man keeps flowing. They need to keep making Spider-Man movies, but because like they connected to 2010s. Ed, I'm back. Remember why we had that is because Spider-Man movies were a failure. But in that time, they also have these other characters that they can tap, and they've been trying to make money doing that. Killing,
you're chopping up again. Sorry.
God damn it! I had a rant too.
I know, Ray. I don't know what you're drinking, but you better slow down. Morbius was better than Quantumania. I said what I said.
They both.
Spider-Man makes great money on the PS5.
Yeah, that's very true. I can't even tell you to remember the last time I heard a bad Spider-Man game. I'm going all the way back to PS1 here.
So, uh-oh.
No, I can see that my Wi-Fi is not strong. For it to get again, I'm rebooting.
The Wi-Fi get kicked is not off. Strong with you.
No, it is not. I get kicked off. I probably died. I loved you all.
I was going to say, we could play a commercial while you reboot your Wi-Fi and come back with our main topic.
The lack of Wi-Fi is disturbing.
We'll be right back.
It is, actually, for what we pay for it.
This is so wizard, Andy.
Broadcasting very fast and very dangerous from the planet Malastare. You are listening to So Wizards.
You're thinking, you're the people gonna die?
The only podcast to make the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs.
There'll be no one to stop us this time.
I am your host, Joey DiCarlo, and with me, my co-hosts, the queen of all nerds, Aubrey Litchfield, and the expert, Mr. Marquis, Marcellus Ray. You are listening to So Wizard Podcast, where three friends review movies, TV, and sometimes more, podcasting weekly on the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network. For Kellis Reagans, please tell the listeners where they can find more So Wizard Podcast.
Everybody, you can head on over to SoWizardPodcast.com, and there you're going to find a brand new episode every week. Find So Wizard on all podcasting streaming platforms, such as iTunes, Spotify, Good Pods, and pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. Check out our YouTube page, where new content is being uploaded regularly. We also have a Patreon page. For as little as $1 a month, you can receive exclusive bonus content while you're supporting the show.
No, I didn't. First of all, a podcast takes a lot of work. Okay, you have to organize the guests, you have to do a Google Calendar, and you build a following. It takes a long time, and I've been working on it for a while.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
JD, you can rest easy. The gist of your rant came through.
I'm good.
And Drew says, I want Spider-Man reign with Toby or Andrew.
I want Jay, ovarian radioactive jizz. And then put on again. That's a fun story, man. I think I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm good too.
That'd be a hard sell for sure.
Yeah. All right. So our main topic, and I'm glad I brought Drew Don on for this, because I'm sure you have a lot to say. But in 1989, way before 1992's X-Men the Animated Series, we got our first pilot of an animated series that never got made, just the pilot, and it got aired. What's funny about this is it got aired a lot. And of course, talking about Pride of the X-Men, And Margaret Loesch was the producer behind it. She worked at the newly formed, she worked at the Marvel Studios animated division, like, for years. And she said, we should be doing an X-Men cartoon. Remember in the early 80s, we got Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends, and we had some other Marvel cartoons, and like, we should be doing X-Men. So they produced this pilot, they put it on air, and yet they claim that it didn't get enough attention to order a full series. Well, she leaves Marvel and goes to the newly formed Fox Kids. I think that's what they called it, Fox Kids. And while she's there, she talks them into doing an X-Men cartoon, and then we get X-Men the Animated Series. So she got two shots at this, and the second one is the one that really took off and set the tone for the Marvel cartoons for the 90s. But yeah, it came out in 1989, and it's funny because I saw this then a bunch of times. I think I was in eighth grade when this came out, and I thought, oh, they got a new X-Men animated series, and I didn't realize at first it was the same episode being shown over and over again. And yeah, so do you guys remember how old you were and when you first saw this?
I was 11, and I saw it on VHS. I never saw this when it was broadcast. And again, this is the world of syndication. So sometimes you saw stuff, sometimes you didn't see stuff. I remember they had Marvel Action Hour on one of the low-powered UHF stations, WPWR-TV Channel 50 in Chicago, which didn't have any good until they acquired it. Did not watch that channel growing up. So I never saw it. The first time I saw it was at the video store shelf at Ken's World. And I never had the Wolverine for life. And I was so confused because, again, I'm 11 at this point. This is 1991. I'm an avid X-Men reader. So I was totally perplexed. So, yeah, that was my first experience. It was on VHS. I did not see any of the airings.
How about you, Don?
This came out when I was 9 years old. And I do remember flashes of seeing it when it aired on TV. But then I did find it on VHS and then a couple of years later, and then I was able to connect the dots. Oh, okay, I've seen this before. But I wore that fucking VHS out. Boy, I couldn't get enough of it. But I do remember, again, flashes of actually seeing it when it aired on TV, but really didn't start getting into it, playing it over and over again until I had it on VHS myself. When I was like, I think it was like 11, too. Because I was like, oh, this is what I saw. Because I could never, I could clearly remember the images, but didn't know where they were from. And then I got the VHS. Sweet. Oh, wait, there's only one fucking episode?
Dave, how old? So you were in eighth grade. Don and I were a little bit younger. You know what the real shit is? The animation is so much better on this than the eventual show we got. It's really good. It's that Sunbow stuff. You could tell it was the same company that was doing G.I. Joe at the time, because Sunbow took over the G.I. Joe license just after, I believe, that this show faltered. They were good. They made good quality cartoons. Unlike
Sunbow. And if you like G.I. Joe, all you have to do is close your eyes while Cyclops talks, and you'll hear Duke.
That's true. 8-Bit Ray says, it aired after reruns of the Star Wars Holiday Special. Sir, you are Mandela affecting that. That is not a real thing. The Star Wars Holiday Special aired one time. Drew says, I thought Wolverine was Australian for the longest time. If that's your first exposure to Wolverine, it totally makes sense. Why?
Well,
why?
Because here's why, and I thought the same thing, Drew. They had him on Spider-Man.
He's Australian. He was Australian on that, too. I forgot about that. Why that, also?
Yeah, okay. There are a lot of weird choices that were made, I think, for this show. So it also follows a lot of the tropes that the animated series follows in the beginning, but it's told in a much different way. Obviously, like in the animated series, you get Jubilee coming in, and she's the newcomer that where you learn the stories. Yeah. She's the in for the audience. In this, it's Kitty Pryde. That's why the episode's called Pryde of the X-Men.
The reason for that is because when the show's being made in 1989, you're talking essentially the 1986 X-Men lineup. And Kitty Pryde joins, Don, correct me if I'm wrong, in this 82, 81 Kitty Pryde joins?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 82. And that was a big entry point character for a lot, but Claremont would get bored with stuff. And Jubilee is pretty much a Jim Lee character. First Asian American X-Men, like he's expressed how much he was a big part of that. And the Jim Lee X-Men were massive in 1990. Yes. So at that point, Kitty's in caliber, and she's almost a forgotten character. Because again, a lot of caliber characters were like her and Nightcrawler and Captain Britain. They're just shuttered off. Like, they're characters that almost like seem like Claremont had gotten bored writing. So by the time X-Men gets huge, they're like on a, they're in a universe all essentially. Drew says, why is Wolverine in the jungle, not a forest in the Ant-Man, the animated? The answer to that is because it looks cool.
Yeah. And that also, is the answer. A lot of the, in the original opening for the animated series, a lot of them were just on plain backgrounds. There wasn't a lot going on. They really amped that up in X-Men 97. Remember him being in the jungle. I have to look at that again.
They got fun and games. They got everything you want. I barely know the name. Sorry.
And of course, the show also opens with something they got rid of in the animated series, which is Stan Lee narrating the show.
Hey, true believer. Because that's what Spider-Man, I believe both Spider-Mans had that Stan Lee intro. Like this,
yes.
The solo Spider-Man 81 and Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which is so confusing. Same song, same intro, essentially.
Basically, the
race. Drew's 8-Bit Ray says, 90s X-Men was through the eyes of Jubilee, so essentially is the Watcher, right? Sure. I'll go with that.
It's just a trope that's used so much in writing.
Yeah, strange. You, especially with a teenager and a teenage girl, it's pretty traditional with the X-Men. They've done it multiple times. Joss Whedon did it with Armor, right? Like, it's not the first time. Like, they just, everyone wants to add their own version of Kitty Pryde, and they all falter because Kitty Pryde rules.
Yeah, I don't think she's written well at all in this episode either.
Is anyone written well in this episode, Dave?
The only one that feels somewhat true to character is Nightcrawler. Other than that, Nightcrawler.
Yep. Yeah, I'll give you Nightcrawler. It's
his Colossus is okay, but he doesn't do much.
Yeah,
he's just there. Like, be honest, this is not a good piece of animation. The X-Men 92 is significantly better as characterization. But again, it's just a pilot. I mean, it's meant to be a launching.
I get what you're saying about that, but to me, when I put both of them side by side, I prefer the Pride of the X-Men. I was always so bitter that this did not continue. Because of the roster, Colossus is in it, so obviously Nightcrawler.
Okay, but here's a question, and Don, you're the one to answer this. The whole lineup that's on this show is Colossus, Nightcrawler, Dazzler,
everyone Cyclops, in the arcade game, yep.
Cyclops, and it feels like...
It's the 85 lineup.
Mm-hmm. Is it the 85 lineup? Okay. Yeah.
It's the 85, 86.
And that's the thing. This is my X-Men right here.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, when I got into X-Men, it's because of this show. Again, at first it was Flashes. Then we get the toy line. Then we get the X-Men video game.
The arcade and the home version.
And then the arcade game. Right. Like, the arcade. This is what made me X-Men fan.
This is also the first one when Toy Biz gets the Marvel Life 90. Also, the X-Men that got released was this version. So this to our generation was the X-Men that was marketed to us. But what happens is Jim Lee's X-Men, because I say Jim Lee because Chris Claremont, I'll tell you, he took the creator at the end of that, like the arc of X-Men, like adjectiveless X, but by the end of it, Lee bounced out the door and it's Lee and John Byrne. Like this, that version of X-Men go over and became massive in the marketing from the 85 lineup to the 91 lineup. Blue.
Right.
Drew said something and Dave took it away before I had a chance.
Oh, sorry.
They used Sunspot in X-Men as a POV. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they're doing that with Sunspot. They flipped the script a little bit. 8-Bit Races, we got X-Men Arcade out of this pilot. So those doing the Lore's work. Yeah, X-Men Home Game, based the same lineup. Like I said, this was the 85 lineup was the one Marvel marketed for a long after that it changed. To change rosters probably 3 or 4 times. By the time we got to the actual X-Men animated series.
My question was, and I wasn't a big X-Men reader, was Jean dead at this point in the comics? Okay.
Yeah, this, she's not in it. This is Scott in comics. You're talking from this is the era, right? Art Adams, John Romita, I believe, drawn X-Men at this time. So this is Scott and Maddie, a chick.
Okay.
And she punches because he says, are you Gene reborn? And she fucking sticks him because he's like, you're an asshole. And it turns out he was right.
Right. Yeah.
Not what Claremont had it, but that's what happened.
Yeah, and he's still got his hair covered in this as well. He doesn't have the open...
So he doesn't lose the hood until the Mirror Island saga of 1990 when it rips in battle. X1 is when he first makes the appearance sans hood.
Okay.
That was a gym.
It's interesting that now that you're explaining it that way, that they did try to closely follow what was going on in the comics when they did both these animated shows. So
because they just picked, because probably this is what's wild. Comic is like Jim always talked about the illusion of change, right? That stuff had to be rebooted to keep people interested, but you always had to put toys back in the box. Claremont always said fuck and did what he wanted, and because it was successful, they let him, and he believed that the roster had to grow and grow. So if you read Claremont's 75 to 90, that roster all year, like Avengers, like you wouldn't get anything like that. Now and then, like people would leave, people would, like Scott eventually leave, and then they form Max Fat, and then you change and they get lost in the Outback for a while to see stuff, and then they're all scattered throughout 1990, and then they won, and then you have the whole boom, like blue and gold X-Men lot. Like they trans, it's hard to, they're not like for specifically these X-Men. So when that happened is when Marvel was pitching this stuff, it was pitching in 85, so they used that roster because that was currently what it was at the time. Right. And by the time the show did, even close to the roster of 1989. Because 1989, I believe, is Siege Perilous era of X-Men. Oh, no, that's Inferno. That's the X-Men. So you're talking like Hat and Longshot, Dazzler, and like it's gone, Wolverine. I'm trying to remember who else is in that era. It's a complete roster in the comics at that point.
I forgot about Inferno. Jeez.
I think Rogue was on that team too. But she's still doing Rogue the was green probably, suit.
Yeah. And she had like, didn't have the single stripe. She had like two stripes.
Yeah. Brotherhood really? Of Evil Mutants Rogue, basically.
She's achieving her redemption arc at this point. Because like Rogue actually becomes like Wolverine. It was Kitty, and then really weird, because that's like a woman to be able, that's the X-Men. With that, when they were building the pitch, that lineup's like, okay, this is yes. Instead of book. Am I cutting out again? Is that what you...
Yeah.
Fucking...
Oh, no, the headphones are going off.
He's angry. While he calms down, I think he's making a good point though. Like, I get your perspective, Don. It says you're into the and I get that. And this was also an in for me to the X-Men when I first saw it. And I'm like with our audience here. I thought Wolverine was Australian for the longest time. After this, I was shocked when I learned he's actually Canadian. I thought maybe he's from the Australian part of Canada.
Right.
But then the dialogue is, and it's, you know what? It didn't get much better in the animated series. It did a little bit, but like one of the things we get is the way Xavier talks, explaining the X-Men to Kitty, like that works a little bit. But then when Magneto attacks and Juggernaut comes in, and he keeps saying,
"Dear brother, like, you're welcome in my house anytime. It's your friends I have a problem with." Yeah.
Like
that, I appreciate that a little bit of exposition though, because this is a pilot issue though.
Right. And so I
appreciate them acknowledging that they're stepbrothers. I don't know. And maybe that's just PTSD from X3. I don't know. But
I feel like the plan was that was going to play into what the series, their relationship was going to play in the series. Somehow.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And that's why they were nailing that in your head in the first episode. But it was like, I didn't need them to say it like three times. Like it was filler.
It's very Jim Shooter, because Jim Shooter was always every issue could be something. So you have to tell them everything about everybody and every page, which makes compendiums really sometimes. You're like, I know.
Jim Lee said that too. Not Jim Lee. Stan Lee said that too a lot. You never know when it's their first issue, and that's probably where Shooter got it from. So it's, yeah. Like I will say that. I can't tell you how many Spider-Man comics I read as a kid where they retold his origin in it, like in a flashback, him having that moment where he's doubting himself and what he should do. And it's like, oh, I think back to when I lost my uncle. And it was like, all right, I get it. Like, his uncle died. He didn't do anything about it. And he became Spider-Man.
Drew says the toys. X-Men.
It was five.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
That's what they were going for.
X-Men. I just remember and being in the grocery store, because they used to sell comic books in grocery stores back then. Yeah. They used to have these little spinner racks, and you're just going through those because your grandmother's buying some shit. You don't know. You don't care. You're just whatever. And I just remember the X-Men looking way cooler than every other comic. I don't know. That's what really drew me in. Shiny Colossus, the guy with the knives on his, it was just, I don't know. It just looked cooler. And this show captured that for me. And I even appreciate that they deviated from the Spider-Man with the blue and yellow Wolverine. I love that this has the brown and yellow Wolverine. I don't know. I've always liked that more toned down Wolverine. It made more sense. But yeah, I don't know. Just the visuals just got me into X-Men, I think, before anything else. And this has great visuals. I can't get over it.
I feel that was done. When you look at the picture of them all together, I feel like that was done on purpose so that, because you've got Nightcrawler's outfit's got like the black V on it, Wolverine's got the black, and then Colossus has got it. So it makes it feel like they're more of a team. And then Storm's in her black costume in this as well. Just feel like they were trying to find a way to tie them together without having them all wearing matching uniforms.
Dave Cockrum design. That's the thing about Don talking about the look of the X-Men. Like they always had phenomenal artists, right? Dave Cockrum, John Byrne, Paul Smith, John Romita Jr., Art Adams, Mark Silvestri, then Jim Lee. Who's bad? Like they never ever had a mediocre guy on the title. They always had the best of the best. So consequently, the X-Men always look cool as fuck, no matter what era you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's the selling point in comics too, right? It is a lot about the art and the images draw you in. So if they don't look cool, you're not going to read the comic.
But unlike those X-Force comics with Liefeld.
I love that.
Did you see Liefeld draw Colossus with all the pouches? Colossus doesn't have a fucking gun.
Colossus don't need no pouch. He's got metal skin.
He doesn't need a utility belt. He's indestructible basically
Walk around naked. You get a metal wang. You don't need no fucking protection.
His metal eyes.
Yeah, exactly. He was low for me. I don't know who Drew's talking about. He goes, he was low for me. Oh, Chris Pacello? Yeah, okay. I like Chris Pacello. Yeah. But yeah, whatever. Teach their own. But that's the thing is, they look cooler than the Avengers. You compare any era of the X-Men. You put any era X-Men side by side with any era Avengers, even when George Perez is drawing them, X-Men always look cooler. You disagree with me? When?
Yeah.
I love George Perez, but George Perez Titans up here. George Perez Avengers is like here. Titans stuff was way better than his Avengers stuff. And they always look cooler. X-Men always look cooler. Always. Find me a better design in Marvel than Wolverine. Find me one. Doesn't exist. Look at the Dark Phoenix. Look at the Phoenix. Look how the Phoenix looked. John Byrne drawing the Phoenix. Amazing. Amazing. Right? A phoenix is a giant fire bird. That's awesome. The X-Men always had the best art. Even like drawing X-Factor. Will C. Potasio was drawing X-Factor. Amazing shit. Let's forget about Rob Liefeld. He was really popular at the time. It worked for the era. It was fine. But everything else, man, guns freaking blow stuff.
I love the Liefeld joke you saw in the trailer.
Yeah, it's good shit. And then he got about it because it's Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, all right. And okay, so basically the story goes... Magneto breaks into the X mansion to get the circuit for Cerebro because he wants to use it on asteroid M to make a meteor crash into the Earth to kill all the humans, but it probably would have killed most of the mutants too. Let's be honest, it was a dumb plan. He gets it because Xavier gives the circuit to Kitty and she's running away from him and then gets caught in a corner, and somehow Magneto uses his power to make the wall trap her, so she gets scared, drops it, he picks it up and leaves. She feels guilty, goes with the X-Men to Asteroid M to help stop Magneto, and of course they win. They make it seem like they're going to sacrifice Nightcrawler, but it's, wait, you use the power, use the guy who has the power of teleportation in a situation where he's got to escape last minute. Yeah, they're not killing him off. I don't know. That's one of the things when I think about the story. It's his plan was to make the comet hit Earth to wipe out mankind so that only mutants were left. And this is more of a mustache twirling Magneto too.
It is.
It's not, it's meant for 10-year-olds. It's not really.
It's meant no, for absolutely.
Like actually, it's not. Yeah. It's not high level storytelling. Watch any episode of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. You're not talking about depth storytelling here. Skews a lot younger.
Yeah, definitely. I can remember thinking this is airtight back in the day. But now, being almost 44, I'm like, okay, there's a lot of stuff the X-Men would not do here. First thing is they wouldn't split off into 1v1s, right? We're just going to do 1v1 fights, right? No, the X-Men aren't going to do that. But yeah, the writing is not the strong suit. Of course, Kitty Pryde going up and hugging Colossus, and it's like, oh, it's statutory. And I know that was kind of Chris Claremont thing already, so I know that's a question. So so obviously we're going to see where they were going to go with that, but then it's an uncomfortable thing, Colossus and Kitty Pryde's age difference. So yeah, the writing is not the strong suit. And my other critique of this is, of course, you have the fucking voice of Megatron. I'm forgetting his name.
Frank Welker.
Peter. Frank Welker is voicing Toad.
Waste like, of his time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's another, like, something they would never do today. But they don't just say, they don't just call them the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. They call them terrorists in the show. You know, the 80s, I don't. Man. Yeah, I know. It's like, you would never do that today. That would, like, and they didn't even do that in the animated series either.
It's a different era, right? Drew says Grant flipped the planet's polarity. Same thing. How the mutants are going to survive better than the humans? Yeah, Grant Morrison turns Magneto very much into a mustache twirling villain at the end of his run too. It's not the Zorn reveal is not the highlight of Morrison's X-Men.
Yeah,
it's not,
and
it's not
right. And having Magneto just be evil is not good writing for Magneto. It doesn't work. Like, you need to show his backstory and why he doesn't like humans, and he thinks.
But they weren't going to do that in a kid's show in 1989.
Yeah,
they,
you're
they
right.
They just weren't. Like, it's not of the era. Like, the X-Men animated series skews older. They're aimed for the exact same audience, but that audience is 3 years older at that time. Drew says, I still loved it. It's fine for what it is. I have no problem with it.
Yeah. And that was another thing, that the choice of the villains was weird to me.
It was the Brotherhood. It's like a classic Brotherhood lineup, plus with Emma, who makes right. sense because Kitty's there.
But she's also, is she on the asteroid? I don't remember now. And I just watched it today.
Who? Emma?
Emma.
Yeah.
No, she's not on the asteroid. No,
she's not on the, she only frees Magneto in the beginning. Oh, that was the other interesting thing.
Like, throws her lightning bolts, which is a made up power.
Right.
I don't know. They gave her the diamond thing when it was convenient too. So secondary mutation, whatever.
Yeah. And then, sorry, the girlfriend just texted. And then, yeah. So it's just like they didn't have the power dampering collar idea yet. So he's in this weird cage, electronic cage.
How did they get him there?
Right.
That's the story that I've been asking myself for 30 something years.
Yes, that's
it. Doesn't matter. Like, they didn't
I know care. It doesn't matter.
They don't care. You shouldn't care. It's meant but to it does.
I think the lesson from this is a woman who came up with both ideas that persistence and retrying something can be a good thing.
Yeah. Like, just succeed, try again.
Yes. If something didn't work the first time, revamp it, figure out what didn't work, and redo it. And I think we've got X-Men 97 to thank because of her.
Yeah. And there's a clear evolutionary line because all three shows are aimed at the same group of fans.
Yes.
It was us at 9, it was us at 12, and it's us at 44, me and Don specifically.
Yeah. I would say to anyone who's watching this, you can just look up Pride of the X-Men on YouTube. There are a bunch of channels that have it posted. You can watch it for free. And I think you should check it out because you can see some of the bones of where they were going when we got to X-Men the Animated Series. They're there. It's not perfect, but you can see what they were doing. Guys, have anything you want to add, or did we beat this to death enough?
Yeah, like I said, I know that the writing was shit on this, but it was targeted at 9-year-old Don, and 9 to 11-year-old Don fucking loved it for what it was. And even after the X-Men 97, that's out now. Even 92. After the X-Men the Animated Series came out, I still watched this and yearned for, I wish it only continued. But it was the animation, the look, the roster. This is a snapshot of what Don thinks of X-Men. This is it.
I'll add this last thing. Since there is a rumor we're going to have different variants of Wolverine in Deadpool Wolverine, I would love for one of them to have an Australian accent. And it would just be Hugh Jackman talking in his regular accent.
I was going to say, we've had nothing but Australian Wolverines.
Right.
I'm about to say, prophetic.
Yeah, I would love it. If just one scene where they have him as a variant, he just talks in his normal accent, that would be perfect, in my opinion.
And can't stop talking shit about Kitty Pryde, although I know she's not going to be in the movie, but...
I still hate Dazzler more. All right. And she's rumored to be in the movie, played by what's her face, the pop star,
Taylor Swift.
That's
not gonna happen.
Yeah, I know, but that's
why not happen. Why don't you think it would happen?
Because she's it's not going to happen because it hasn't happened. It could happen, but she hadn't had time to make a movie. Yeah. Every bit of her, when does she have time to disappear? Every time the woman farts, it makes freaking headlines across America.
I want that now too, Dave. Brown costume, Australian accent. All right, let's write Marvel and make it happen. Oh, wait, the movie's already shot. All right, let's wrap this one up for tonight. Let's go around the room. And did you learn something this week on the podcast, or do you have any recommendations? And Don, you can go first.
Yeah, I learned that 8-Bit Ray, for whatever reason, thinks Morbius is better than Ant-Man Quantumania. And for that, sir, seek help, because I care about you. And yeah, you're not feeling right now. And I don't want that for you.
To be fair, a kick in the balls is better than being stabbed in the face.
I mean, it does really fucking suck, but you're right. It is better than getting stabbed.
It's going to hurt a lot in the moment, but being stabbed has long-term ramifications.
All right. Any recommendations?
Other than X-Men 97, the finale of The Bad Batch, for those of you that are like, Palpatine returned. Yeah, watch it. You can learn more about it. And that's it. Shogun's over. Fallout's pretty good. Through two episodes of that. Never played the game, but I'm still enjoying the show. So check that out. Just if you're a dog lover, episode 2, skip like the first 10 minutes.
I've heard.
Because it got my white person dog lover gene going all sorts of crazy.
Oh my God, I love it. That's something the guys on Colt 45 talk about a lot.
It's true.
You want to take off a white person dog in a movie. JD?
Doc Brown. I put this on my social media and it didn't blow up as much as I hope it would have. Doc Brown in Back to the Future 3 is stranded in the past. Rebuilds the time machine from 1886 parts. It clearly takes him well over a decade to do it. Also, he could go back and get his dog. If that's not true love, I don't know what is.
Yes.
That is how back to the future ends.
But would he have done it if he wasn't white? That's the important question.
I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I learned nothing on this show, as always. I'm currently reading Ghost Story by Peter Straub. It's a book from 1977. Excuse me. That's quite good. I like it a lot. I'm not finished it yet, but I like it. So I highly recommend Ghost Story from Peter Straub.
Cool. All right. I learned that Friday the X-Men really screwed a lot of people up within our age range because we've a long time thought Wolverine was Australian.
That's not you. I never thought that stuff. I always wondered why he had an accent, but continue.
Okay. Let's see. What do I recommend? I recommend that you click that subscribe button, click that bell for notifications, and please, if you can, smash that like button so that it helps with the algorithm and we can get out to more people. We greatly appreciate that. Yeah, I'm with Don. I don't have much recommendation other than watch X-Men 97. There's 3 episodes left in the season. It's going to be a 3-parter. Go check it out because I think it's really well written for an animated series. And I also recommend you go to superheroespeak.com where you can find the podcast every week. The links to all our social media at the top of the page, comic book reviews by Chris and our good friend Don, and so much more. That's superheroespeak.com. All right. On that note, boys and girls, as always, wait, I'm not set. Okay. As always, thanks for watching and don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.